Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at Patreon.com/RealityTVPod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Hello, welcome back. Not so breaking news, but the most important news of all that I've heard all week, 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After is coming back to TLC on April 28th. Make sure your DVRs are set to record it, that you don't miss it. You know, there's a difference between 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After. So make sure that you catch it, make sure that you record it, because I'm going to be here for every single second of it. Even though Russ and Paula are back, I really don't care, but listen, I will take 90 Day Fiancé any way that it is given to me. I'm not going to complain, at least yet. Now let's talk about what else made me very happy over this last week, and that is those of you who signed up for Patreon. Yep, I'm throwing it out there again. You gotta sign up. It's what keeps this podcast going, and there's some pretty good shit over there. Lori, Michelle Litton, Michelle Knighton, Vivian, Jen Mason, Hillary Zelaznik, Beatrice Adams, love your name, Beatrice, and Melissa Peacock, thank you. You're the all-stars of the week, and I hope you enjoy every second over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/realityvpod. Now, the reason I bring that up is because there are parts 1, 2, and 3 of Adnan Syed, or the case of Adnan Syed, on HBO, and next week, I'm going to be breaking down. I'm going to dive deep on it because at that point, all of the episodes will have been released and I'm going to eat that shit up with a spoon, a knife, a spork. I am living for anything that's cereal. So I'll be on that. I'll be on the case. That's going to be next week on Patreon. Now, the other documentaries that I caught up with this past week, I know I'm a little late to the game with Whitney. It's on Hulu. It's so, so good. If you have not watched it yet, if you're like me where you're like, okay, I know it's there, I'll watch it sometime when I have nothing else, go and watch it. It quickly sucked me in. I felt like I knew a lot of the stuff about Whitney and, you know, what went on behind the scenes with Bobby Brown. Surprisingly, they didn't go into that so much, but it was just really good. It gave you a different side of it. It's obviously very heavily, I'd say, swayed by Whitney's family, but it was very interesting. Now, I also watched HBO's The Inventor. That's Elizabeth Holmes. That's the subject of the Dropout podcast. It's freaking great. I'm a big supporter of podcasts, obviously, but I think if you watch the documentary, if you're tight on time, you got to pick between one or the other, watch a documentary. It is really good. The only thing I think it left out is this whole story about her dog. Have you guys heard about this? I was talking with, and when I say talk, I mean a long tweet thread with Kim from People Are Wild, the ladies from Date with Dateline, and Melissa from Moms and Murder. There's this whole thing about her and her dog. Why are people not talking about this? She has this dog named Balto that she would have walk around Theranos, apparently shitting all over the place, and she would just have an assistant follow it around and pick it up, like even in meetings. And it would also go into the lab, which is, you know, not sanitary or anything like that. But this dog is like a Saint Bernard or some shit like that. But when people would ask her what breed the dog was, she would say it's a wolf. I mean, that is a whole other level of sociopathy or lying. Did I just say that right? Sociopathy? Sociopathism? Okay, whatever. I'm not a scientist at Theranos, so sue me. Well, don't sue me. Now I'm going to a whole office shtick. But the whole point is, if you're lying about the breed of your dog, insisting that it's a freaking wolf, you're crazy right there. Just lock her up into the 60 Days In pod. I also noticed while watching this, you know, I love a good crossover. I have a moment where I'm like, oh, and I look around and I want all of you guys to be there to be like, oh my God, anyone else notice this? The guy from The New Yorker, I think his last name is Auletta, Ken Auletta. He was also in the Hulu documentary called The Reckoning. And if you haven't watched that one, you need to watch that one as well. That one is about the Me Too movement in Hollywood with Harvey Weinstein. And there are some accusers that have some pretty damn convincing stories, and they get pretty specific. So if that is something that doesn't trigger you or something that you're interested in, check that out. Again, I think I already said this, but it's on Hulu called The Reckoning. I also have queued up to watch tonight, I cannot wait, The Act. This is the case, the mommy dead and dearest with Gypsy Blanchard, the girl whose mom, the Munchausen mom, the Munchie mom, who made her be in a wheelchair and pretend that she was deathly ill, and then she later went on to murder or plan the murder of her mom. I freaking can't wait for it. I can't get out of my head, however, that the daughter, Gypsy, is played by the same girl who was Ramona in Ramona and Beezus, which also stars Selena Gomez. Those of you who are parents, are you're there with me right now. So when you look at sweet little Ramona and now you see her being Gypsy and she's going to be wearing a wig and dressing up and being all kinky, it's almost like watching your child grow up way too quickly, seeing the things you don't want to see, and or your childhood hero, Ramona Quimby, age 8, squeezing that tube of toothpaste in the sink. It's like seeing her fall from grace. So I'm going to try to separate the things in my mind, do the best I can. And like I said, also on HBO, make sure you're catching up this week and next week. It's the last two parts, is that Adnan Syed docuseries. I'm going to be talking about it on Patreon next week with Amanda. Now, this is a total left turn from everything else I just talked about, but it caught me off guard. I was concerned for his well-being. I hope he's okay. I hope he's not in need of financial assistance. Emeril Lagasse, the love of, I think, all of our lives and our hearts, even if you are not into New Orleans cuisine, the gumbo and all that kind of stuff that he's famous for, I think. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I just love him. That's the whole point, is that everyone loves Emeril Lagasse. Well, I was working out at the gym and I look up on the TV and I am watching an infomercial, not knowing it was an Emeril infomercial. And I was just ripping this thing to shreds in my head because it looked like a Sonia Morgan toaster oven. Like, picture that in your mind. And there's a host and she's putting things in there and it's saying, oh, it can rotisserie a chicken and it can be a food dehydrator, which made me start, you know, having a whole thing in my mind because I have a brain like a steel trap. And it made me think of Ron Popeil's, oh yeah, I remember him. There was a food dehydrator system and he also had a pasta machine. And remember, he had his granddaughters come up from the audience during the infomercial and he made chocolate pasta, chocolate spaghetti for one of them. You guys with me? I know it sounds disgusting, but are you kidding? 8-year-old, 9-year-old me was like, oh my God, mom, we got to get this thing. So I'm watching this thinking, this is such a pile of shit. There's people at home, probably elderly people, have nothing else to watch, don't even realize that they're watching an infomercial. They think it's a legitimate channel and they're like, oh my God, I need to dehydrate my old bruised fruit that I got on sale on Tuesdays and I need this thing immediately. I'm not making fun of those people. My mom goes and she gets the defective fruit because it's cheaper. And come on, Jody, you think a bruised apple tastes any different than another apple? So the whole point of this, again, is that I'm watching this, feeling really bad for the people who are buying into it, and who rounds the corner with a powdered sugar shaker but Emeril Lagasse. And when I tell you my jaw dropped on the elliptical machine, that's an understatement. I had to stop for a second, and I was thinking, Emeril, you can't bam with powdered sugar, first of all, and really, you really need an shill, an Emeril 360. Is this really where you are? There's no episodes of Top Chef you can guest host on. Oh, man. I mean, a fall from grace. I thought I saw it all with the chef who would always wear the Crocs, that creep. I thought that was the worst of the worst, but I really feel bad for Emeril. Now, like I said, that has nothing at all to do with anything, but that's how my brain operates. And with that, let's get into, shall we do Seeking Sister Wife first? Let's do Seeking Sister Wife. Get these scumbags out of the way because you know I freaking hate the Snowdens. Stop, do not fast forward. I want to take a minute to talk to you about something that is very important to me and something all women deserve. I'm passionate about women taking control of their health, especially reproductive health, so I was beyond thrilled to team up with Modern Fertility. As a mom of two and two-time gestational surrogate, I have been pricked, poked, prodded more times than I can count. I conceive my kids easily and naturally, but I went through rounds of intense IVF during my surrogacies. What I learned through all of this is that women are often left in the dark as to what our bodies are doing. Are we still fertile? Should we freeze our eggs? Is menopause just around the corner? I was shocked when I went for my yearly physicals the past few years, and unless I specifically asked for my hormone levels to be checked, it's not routine. I was shocked and honestly mad that my insurance does not cover these tests. Yeah, that was well over $800 out of pocket 2 years in a row. It's ridiculous. Modern Fertility is the first comprehensive fertility hormone test for women that you can take at home. Just a little finger prick, send it off in the prepaid package, and you're automatically matched with a fertility team of nurses and a doctor to review your results. All tests are conducted in a CLIA-certified lab, and Modern Fertility's team of physicians and clinical advisors lead some of the nation's top fertility clinics. You also get access to weekly webinars and a community of women just like you. There are 8 hormones that are tested, and don't worry if you're on birth control. Modern Fertility has it all figured out. On the third day of your period, you do a little finger prick, or you can go to a lab like Quest on your own if you really want to. Send it back, and within a few days, you'll have 8 test results that break down information on your ovarian reserve, ovulation, testosterone, thyroid, and more. From those results, you'll know how close you are to menopause, give you the information you need to determine if you want to freeze your eggs, for example, what better conversation starter to bring to your doctor. Get the ball rolling on your terms. For only $159, you have access to the information you need to plan ahead and take control of your life. Plus, you can use your FSA or HSA. I've never looked forward to getting my period before, but I am now because I can't wait to take the Modern Fertility test. Because I want to know, after all the IVF treatments I've been through and I'm getting closer to 40, I am very curious. I'm going to follow up with you. There should be no secrets about women's health. Visit modernfertility.com/realityv. Take their fertility test and get $20 off your Modern Fertility test. That's modernfertility.com/realityv to take the fertility quiz and get $20 off. modernfertility.com/realityv. I thought TLC had gone a step too far with the Dr. Pimple Popper, what they were putting on TV, but this is a whole new level. The name of the episode, by the way, was It's Getting Steamy Up in Here. Okay, we're going to get to it in just a second. But first, something that pissed me off almost as much, Dimitri and Vanessa working out in the middle of a park. If you are going to dare tell me that I need to get up, keep doing squats while you are shrugging off a sign of affection, Vanessa tries to go and kiss Dimitri and he's like, okay, squat deeper. Well, I'm going to kick you in your all organic, non-GMO nuts gleefully, like Tybo style. I'm going to make a declaration here and it's going to be pretty bold. Having a partner as your fitness coach or personal trainer, it will never work out long term. I don't want Dave telling me to squat lower or keep it parallel or tell me to put my cheeseburger down because he doesn't eat meat. No. Put your socks in the hamper, bitch, and empty out the change out of your pockets, and then we'll talk about my birthing hips and how low they can go. Get the fuck out of here with that. And not to mention, Dimitri, I was looking at his physique. He doesn't look like The Rock. He's not looking like Chris Pratt when he was all ripped, and he's wearing slide-on Keds to this workout session. No, I see you. A simmer down now. Now, speaking of simmer, yeah, we're going to talk about vaginas, naturally, right? I mean, what else would we talk about? My favorite subject of all, it's what all my best gal pals and I do while we sip water out of obnoxious iridescent steel tumblers. I just want to flick one of those things out of their hands every time they drink out of them. They drive me fucking nuts. I don't know if they just went ham in a Pier 1 or what, but everything they touch or drink out of is that stainless steel iridescent shit. I Okay. Now let's talk about vaginas because, you know, who doesn't love to talk about it? Who's not in need of a good simmering over steam? I'm going to tell you right now for a fact, Ashley is one of those women who competes over pain tolerance. You know, she rubs it in that she doesn't feel her contractions, that her vagina is tolerant of wet heat, dry heat. You know, she could live in Arizona or Florida, doesn't matter. She's just truly bi-coastal. Well, this actress turned yoni facilitator, which, I mean, come on, a yoni facilitator. That sounds more douchey than podcaster. And douchey is just the perfect pun, not intended, but oh so perfect way to describe this profession. And I'm putting that in air quotes here. Well, Hyacinth or whatever the hell her made up name is. She cranks up, I'm guessing, like little Instapots that she has Ashley and Vanessa carry in. She doesn't even bring it in. She puts them right to work, gets their vaginas nice and sweaty before they get steamed. And they're like these Victorian era wooden latrines. And she sets them up right next to Ashley's marital bed. She sits him down and then she's like, okay, I'm going to take off for 30 minutes. I'm going to go check my Facebook, maybe check my LinkedIn profile, see if I've gotten any hits, see if there's anything on my Amazon Prime list that's on sale. Meanwhile, Ashley is just sitting daintily on her little shit box while Vanessa is like spread eagle and she's just letting it all air out, steam out, and she's just burning the hell out of her fallopian tubes. Like the chances of her conceiving Dimitri's baby, thank God, are probably slim to none right now. And this right here is exactly what makes us hate the Snowdens. You don't see any other family or sister-wife dynamic doing shit like this. It's way too personal. It's very, very condescending. It probably cannot smell that great in there. I mean, can you imagine? I don't want to be in there with my sister, my best friend. I don't even want to be in there by myself having anything steamed inside out. But sharing that moment with someone else that you are then going to share via Dimitri. Are you guys seeing this here? Well, obviously you saw it. This has crossed the line, and the fact that Vanessa doesn't see it blows my mind because she seems like she's fairly smart. Let's just think about this, okay? Ashley is open to this whole sister-wife dynamic, this tribe that's living together, raising children. What is Ashley doing to change herself in order to adapt for Vanessa? Is she eating burgers? Is she drying out her vagina instead of steaming it? Like, why doesn't she change her alkaline levels and start drinking iced tea instead of flat water or whatever the hell? I mean, I saw that she had that jar of salsa that we all know is from Sam's or Costco. So don't tell me that she only eats or drinks things that are directly out of her organic backyard farm. It's just such bullshit. Now, what happens next? I don't know if this was more awkward for us viewers or for Vanessa and the Snowdens. I still don't totally believe that Ashley is all cool with Dimitri, you know, heading down the hallway to go sleep with another woman as she's still in the kitchen scrubbing pots and pans and then goes and lays down to breastfeed an infant. I just don't buy it. I don't think for a second this is something that Ashley really wants long term. She just wants a live-in babysitter. But it's completely awkward. I think it was a calculated question for Ashley to ask Vanessa, are you ready for the D? Like she kind of laughed like, oh, it just slipped out. Oh, this is kind of weird. No, I think she meant to ask that question. I think she meant to make Vanessa feel awkward. And she absolutely wants to play like the cool girlfriend, like in high school. No, I'm the cool girl. You don't need to worry about me. Go hang out with your friends. I want you to have friends who are girls. No, bullshit. She's going to make Dimitri pay for every second that he's giving to Vanessa. I don't buy it. I think they're full of shit. And I really wish Vanessa would just wake the hell up. Okay, Bernie and Paige McGee. Well, Paige is woken up, right? She's woken up from this nightmare that she put herself in. Well, Brandy's flown off to wherever she came from, and the McGee boys are now entering the period of time that they will refer back to in therapy for years to come. Both of them, well, the younger one's in tears, but the older one, he seems shaken up. They are totally convinced that Brandy and her daughter are the perfect fit for their family. They're already missing her. Now, Paige is the only one who is not so convinced now. She thinks, you know, I think I want this, but I'm not quite sure. Let's keep our profile open just in case a woman who maybe wants to use her uterus is right around the corner and they can just, you know, tell Brandy to scram. So much for that friendship over French braids, right? Now, later in the day, Bernie decides that he's going to surprise Paige. He's got candles lit. He's browning up some steak on the stove that has zero ventilation, which you think they would have learned how to prevent a kitchen fire at this point, but no. Bernie has no exhaust fan going at all, and he's just going willy-nilly with oil and grease. It's spilling over an open flame. What a freaking idiot. Well, Paige comes home, and Bernie is all smiles. He is probably... Okay, I'm watching RuPaul's Drag Race. He's probably tucking something. The guy is just horny as all hell. Paige is not. I actually learned something in that moment about myself because I was feeling really weird, not only because Bernie is all kinds of red-faced and excited, which made me then think of things I don't want to think of. But when Paige walked in and said she felt weird, she doesn't like surprises, it struck me that I don't think I like surprises either. That would weird me out too. I need a heads up if you're going to be getting all romantical and change character on me, staring at me intensely right in my eyes for no reason. Obviously, this isn't the norm for Bernie, which is why Paige was caught so off guard. More than anything, though, the open flames, Bernie turning almost purple with excitement. I was very concerned by Bernie drinking a giant glass of milk with dinner like he's a freaking toddler, paired with an old 96er on both their plates. Like, what do you think those cuts of meat cost him? Probably more than their month's mortgage or rent because those things were freaking ginormous. But let's cut to the chase here. Why is Bernie doing this? Is it because Brandy is the perfect fit?
That's what she said.
Or is it because Bernie truly appreciates and loves Paige? Well, obviously, it's because Bernie wants to share a bone. I'm sorry, I meant T-bone with Brandy. I know, really cheap, cheesy puns there, but they're laying it right out there. And when you hear Bernie say, that's what she said, I can't ignore it. We also can't ignore the fact that Bernie really just doesn't give a shit about how Paige feels about Brandy. He wants to have Paige. He wants to have his cake and eat it too. Doesn't matter how Paige feels about it. You know, she was the one who said that she wanted to do the sister wife thing to begin with. There's no take back, sees Paige. And this is exactly where I don't think it was just my DirecTV, but if it was, my DirecTV cut me off here. So you're going to have to let me know what I missed because at this point, I'm super pissed at Bernie. If he's looking at this from a biblical perspective, which is what he keeps saying, shouldn't you cherish your wife and it's important what she thinks and how she feels about this and you're going to be together for eternity? Well, if she doesn't want that, then you should still cherish the wife that you have and get over this introducing a new wife thing. It's just stupid. I don't think they end up together because didn't we just say last week in the news that they were arrested? We don't know where the boys are. Maybe the boys are with Brandy. We'll have to see. Now let's go over to the Aldridges. Jeff is nuzzling necks with Charisse and Vanessa. He's still very distraught over Jennifer lying to them. So now he just wants to make sure that Vanessa and Charisse are okay with him calling Jennifer up and calling it off. He reaches over, holds both their hands, and I don't know why, but at that moment, something happened within me. Just like I had this realization with Paige that I don't like surprises, I had a very strange epiphany. I can see why perhaps some women would like polygamy. Not myself, but I think in the example of the Aldridges, okay, I'm looking at Charisse, I'm looking at Vanessa, I think having a sister wife like that with a husband reaching over, holding both your hands, hear me out here, I think it keeps things spicy. Think about it. You got to step up your game on a daily basis if there's that competition. This is very high school, very middle school girlish. I was never cool enough or attractive enough for this to happen to me. But I think there's sort of a competition between sister wives that keeps the romance kind of fresh with the husband, right? Kind of. I mean, don't get me wrong, that shit would tire me out on day three, and I'm way too insecure to get into something like this, but I can see why some women of faith may confuse that competitive feeling with a godly lust or love. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe, kind of. For example, okay, let's talk about Sophie Winter. We're talking about the Winters. I can see why Sophie might be excited to invite a third wife in because maybe some of that lust is starting to die off. She's second wife. It was exciting at first, and now they're settling into normal life. So now they got to mix it up and make it exciting. Kind of like couples where they get married and then they buy a new house and then they get bored. So they're like, let's have a baby. And then that's died down and they have to move and get a new car, new vacation. It's not really keeping up with the Joneses. It's just that they always need to have something to make it exciting. All right, I'm getting myself way in a rabbit hole here, but hopefully you know what I'm talking about. Now let's talk about the Winders. The day has come and this woman, Jay, has agreed to be filmed during the Skype call. However, her face has to be blurred out because she's not sure she wants to come out as a polygamist just yet. So over some peppermint tea and I'm guessing warm breast milk for Colton, they ring up Jay to see if she's down for sleeping with a soprano for the rest of her life. Sophie is all smiles. She's giddy, just like her methy mouth mom. Clearly, she's the Charisse Aldridge in this situation. Surprisingly, Jay seemed pretty normal, but she's not Mormon. That is a deal breaker for Colton, so he's gonna have to pray about this one and see where the good Lord takes him. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Not one, not two, but three women voluntarily sleeping with Colton for the rest of their lives. It's like a collective chill up and down all of our spines. We're here for each other. We're here in solidarity. Now, stick around right after the break. Let's dive into Sister Wives and Flagstaff. A few weeks ago, I told you about Green Chef, a USDA-certified organic company whose meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore, and my favorite carnivore, which all include a wide variety of organic ingredients. Since then, I personally subscribed myself using my own promo code, I ain't too proud for a sweet discount, and I really, really love it. My kids are still young, so I subscribe for boxes containing three meals for two people. That is plenty for Dave and I to have our own plate and the kids to have a portion of ours. Now, because Dave travels quite a bit, I go on to Green Chef and choose which weeks I want to skip and which meals I want to try. Green Chef does all the shopping, chopping, and makes the sauces for me so I can easily plan healthier, high-quality dinners for my family. The recipes are quick, easy, and come with step-by-step instructions with pictures, which I love, and it helps if you're cooking with kids or just starting out. Last night, I made Spanish steak with patatas bravas, and the slaw with currants was my favorite part. The variety of cuisines is my husband's favorite thing about Green Chef because he was getting tired of my crockpot surprises and endless pasta bowls for the kids. For example, tonight we're trying spiced shrimp with coconut rice, and that is a flavor we'd normally only eat at a restaurant, so it makes dinner not only delicious, but a cost-efficient way to try out new flavors. For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/realityTV. That brings your first box of three meals to less than $30. That's greenchef.us/realityTV for $50 off your first box. greenchef.us/realityTV. Cody's secret plan. Wow, Sister Wives this week. What a freaking snooze, but there were some great moments. Cody begins the episode with gathering the family to talk about this moving to Flagstaff strategy. Everyone's filtering in, giving hugs, hellos. It was actually kind of sweet to see the kids hugging each other, excited to see their brothers and sisters. And that's when Cody just, man, he really knows how to ruin a moment. He yells to the group, "Hey, anyone seen Mary?" As Mary is sitting directly in front of him. I was dying. I was thanking God, and I'm sure Cody was thanking his lucky curling iron or blow dryer that he did not throw in some snarky, salty comment like, you know, he usually does when Mary's not there and cameras are not around. All Mary could do was just raise her hand, and Cody didn't even apologize. He's just like, oh, didn't see you there. Oh, you must have snuck in. Oh, God, he's such a dick, but I freaking loved it. She raised her hand. Think about that. In your home, have you ever raised your hand to make your presence known? I mean, the last time I raised my hand is if I was in a group of people and they were asking a question, not in your own home. It's so bad. Now then, oh God, this was all within, what, the first 2 minutes of the episode, maybe even 30 seconds. The wives and Cody are sitting on the couch in the little testimonial, you know, when they're talking to the crew. And Mary starts saying, in all innocent tone, it wasn't being snarky, it was just laying out the facts, that she'd be very glad if this was the final move they make. And Cody, without looking at Mary, gives a thumbs up straight to the camera and says, thanks, Mary. It was one of my favorite Sister Wives moments of all times. I mean, I think Cody can be a real dorky jerk, but I was living for his saltiness in this episode. I mean, I would clap if it wasn't going to blow your eardrums out right now. Well done, Mr. Brown. He really just refined his tone to where Mary doesn't even realize that he's trying to ghost her out of their lives in plain sight. And as a matter of fact, maybe he loves the idea of Mary wanting to live in the woods at Coyote Pass because coyotes will, I don't know, come and have their way with her. Although she is sporting some pretty bold patterns with the LuLaRoe crap. It's kind of like the opposite of camouflage. But coyotes are smart. I don't think a little LuLaRoe is going to hold them back. Like, they're going to attack her because they know it's good for mankind. Okay, that got really dark. But LuLaRoe does that to me. It's just the patterns. They throw me all in a tizzy. Sorry about that. I was craving firecracker popsicles. Do you know what I'm talking about? The red, white, blue, because of that god-awful red, white, and blue LuLaRoe patterned shirt that Mary was wearing. God, that shit is just so ugly. I want to apologize to those of you who wear or sell LuLaRoe, but I'm sorry, it's just fucking ugly. Okay, let's get to... Okay, so Cody dismisses the kids from this meeting, and now they're going to have a husband-wife-wife-wife-wife meeting. To the surprise of no one, this move is going to cause a lot of stress. This is what all the wives have been saying. This is what all of us have been seeing. The thing is, Cody is just now getting frustrated and pissed because he realizes that he is going to be the one affected by the move. You know, he was all fine with the kids being distraught because they're resilient and they'll bounce back. But as soon as it affects head leader of the family, Cody, and his commute time from no job to a different house, from no job to a different house, well, now we need to talk strategy. Here's an idea. How about before you go and get rentals for everyone, you talk about a general zip code that you want to stay within, or be prepared to be the one to suck it up because the whole thing was your idea, Cody. Now, on top of all of the distance between the rentals and the property, now we also have Christine, who won't have her house until later than she'd like, so now she doesn't know where to live in the meantime. This is where our savior, Robin, aka the Queen of Versailles, Jackie Siegel, offers a humble space of her 7-bedroom home to Christine, but Christine says, that would be weird. Share a man's penis and it's scripture, but share a puffy leather couch and that crosses the line. Awkward. Well, you want to know what was even more awkward than that? Seeing all the Browns flossing. Much like Maddie, I myself cannot floss. I can Macarena. I can grapevine like a motherfucking boss, but getting the rhythm and cadence down to floss, I have tried. I just think anyone who's had a baby's head lodged between your pelvic bones at any point in your life, you're just exempt from flossing. It's impossible. And also, I don't want to floss. It looks weird. I don't want to look like Gwendolyn, like you're seizing in the middle of a kitchen. And I'm not just picking on Gwendolyn, because I think every kid, every adult, every person who does this weird flossing dance, it looks bizarre. It is not the electric slide, I'll tell you that much. And you know what? I'm going to step up my game. Miss Fisher taught us to line dance to Pink Cadillac in freshman year PE class. So I'm basically a Dancing with the Stars pro, and that's my opinion, which means it's fact. The floss is not a dance. If you still continue to disagree with me on that, we can still be friends. However, you must agree with me on something that I've said for months, if not years. Christine and Cody have the best sex life of all the wives. Christine teasing about stripping and getting up and dancing and doing all that. I'm telling you, she is very sexually in tune with herself. And if she is anything like her daughter, McKelty, I mean, it doesn't matter what your husband looks like. You are just going to go for it and get down no matter what. Okay, now on to this stupid open house. Am I the only one on this planet that had my wedding and then that was it? Like, it happened. It's done. It's over. You don't get a party to celebrate the party where you celebrated yourselves. We're done. Don't you dare invite me over to your house where now I have to probably bring another gift. And all I get is corn on the cob with some dry rolls and a lukewarm chicken carcass. And I saw those sliced apples. Did you see their fake charcuterie platter? Yeah, I can't wait till those apple slices oxidize and I get to snack on brown apples and warm cheese cubes. I mean, they didn't even bother to make their crudité cups that they're so famous for. There hasn't been one brown celebration where I have not seen clear plastic cups filled with ranch and some celery sticks and carrot sticks stuck in, but not for this one, not for this open house. Or maybe Tony frickin' ate it all, and he was the only plus side of this whole party. Did you see him? Tony was douchebagging it up with sunglasses on the back of his Dorothy Hamill haircut. Shout out to Little Jody circa 1983 through 86. And then we had Solomon. He's locked outside. He's licking the sliding door trying to get his close up because, you know, God forbid there's an episode where King Solomon is not featured. But no, Solomon couldn't get in there because Caleb was there to steal his thunder and his lighting. And I mean, Jesus. Enough with the open house. I can't take it. Let's move on. Let's fast forward. Oh, of course, to Cody's secret. He can't share it with his wives, though, so he's got to sneak out. He's got to leave his sack, cul-de-sac, to go on this secret mission. Somewhere in this stupid, cooked-up storyline, we once again talk about how the wives have to claim that they're single to the government, and it's so painful. But wait, I'd rather sign single than divorce. Womp, womp, womp. Thanks, Debbie Downer Mary. We got it. You have it worse than everyone. You're a martyr and you're a victim, and you got divorced from Cody to make Robin's life easier. Good thing that you have something to make your life easier. The wet bar. Yeah, hashtag never forget. We will never, ever forget that. Now let's talk about Cody, because I have quite a few issues with him in this episode. He starts talking about, you know, this whole single versus married check the box thing that the government makes them do when they file their taxes. He says he sees the label of single as misogyny. Well, I call that hypocrisy, Mr. I'm the leader of this household, and where I go, we all go. Go scratch your self-serving, misogynistic ass. If Cody thinks for a moment that we believe that he is, you know, pro-woman and women's rights and all this kind of shit, no, I don't believe it. He's telling us that he purposely sought out this architect, this designer, because she was a woman and she'll keep a woman's opinion in mind. No freaking way. I think it's laughable. She was probably the only person who agreed to spend time talking with him And she's probably doing it for free for exposure, right? I mean, if they're as broke as Cody makes it out to be, why would he be spending money on this lame storyline that he knows is going to go nowhere? And on the flip side of that, actually, if he is sincere about living in this one home with all of his wives, well, then what was that comment about misogynist Cody? You're sitting there allocating the deserved square footage based on the children that they have or haven't born for you. Well, I mean, I don't disagree with them that Mary does not need as much space as everyone else, but I mean, that's walking a fine line of being exactly who you claim not to be, that you are not a misogynist, right? Well, now we get to digging up the time capsule. And oh God, I'm going to sound like such a nerd here, but I actually love the idea. I want to do this with my family now. I think it's really sweet. Now, the snarky stuff. Of course, Robin had to cry. Of course, Tony had to be there. And of course, Mary had to make it all about her. Mary, I'm speaking to you here, even though I know you would never have the balls enough to listen to this. Just go the way of that other weirdo family that was on the Sister Wives. I forgot their last name. The one with April that left. Just check yourself out. Go do what makes you happy. Go live in the creepy doll bedroom in Parowan, all right? Now on to Isabel. All I'm going to say is I really wish Cody and Christine would listen to the doctor and also allow Isabel to make some serious health decisions for herself. Yes, she's young, but it's also her body. And bottom line, she's just a badass. She's sweet, she's tough, she's vulnerable and brave, and I think she's just the best. She's right up there with Peyton and Dayton for me. Now, Aspen. Whoa, okay, we gotta talk because I am really, really torn. So much so that I'm almost pissed because I feel like Aspen sucked me in and she made me fall in love with her and love her, and now she springs this shit on me. I simply feel like if you are old enough to get married and have your parents pay for this happily ever after beautiful wedding and choose to live the rest of your life with your husband, then you have to be old enough to let your mom and dad move away from you. They're not abandoning you. They're living their life just like you are choosing to live your life and get married. And you can't play both sides. I don't like that. If you want to live close to them, then why don't you and Mitch move to Arizona? Why does it have to be that Mitch always gets his way and you, as the dutiful wifey, follow him to Utah? Or if it's your choice that you want to move to Utah, it doesn't mean that your entire family has to move along with you to please you. No, that's like McKelty behavior. Aspen, you're better than this. And also, for the record, Aspen's 24. She's not, you know, 19, 20, 21. She's 24. If she's graduating from college or getting her master's degree, whatever it is, hey, that's great. But at this point, you gotta just live your own life. You're married. Let your parents and your family and your siblings go live their life. And you know what? You visit at holidays like most families do. Or like I said, just move to Arizona with them. All right. Well, thanks for sticking around this week. Coming up on Total Request Podcast, that's at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody, we are taking on Pretty Wild. Nancy Jo, this is Alexis Nyers calling. And next week's episode on Total Request Podcast, I will just say, Bravo fans, I'm going to use a quote from Amanda, your basement will be flooded. On Patreon this week, that's patreon.com/realityvpod, I am talking about, oh my God, my Saturday from hell this week. And next week is the case of Adnan Syed. Moms on the Rocks podcast, don't forget to check us out over there. My co-host Carrie, aka the most badass of all the badasses who ever badassed, she completed the Bataan Memorial Death March Marathon. We're talking about the Varsity Blues scandal and more. And you know where to find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at RealityVPod. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review. Thank you so much, and stay salty.